The views expressed on this program are those of the individual participants and not necessarily those of WVUD or the University of Delaware. Welcome to the Music Room on WVUD and WVUD HD1 Newark. Each week, WVUD hosts different artists to talk about the music they play and the lives they lead. Stay tuned for the Music Room on WVUD.
Well, good evening, everybody. Mando Richard here on the Music Room. And before the show even began, I played you a track by the artist we're going to be talking with tonight. Barry Warhoftig is a guitar player from Philadelphia. He leads a wonderful band called the Hot Club of Philadelphia. And we're going to get him on the line here in just a moment. You're going to hear music that is done up in the style of jazz that was popular in Paris in the 1930s and 1940s, and has continued to be popular today. And Barry plays a lot in the style of one Django Reinhardt. But you didn't tune in to listen to me talk, did you? You tuned in to listen to the music and to listen to the artist. So here comes Barry Warhoftig and everybody in the Hot Club of Philadelphia, and a song that goes back to 1912. Barry and I were having such a good time talking, we almost missed the end of that piece there. Barry Warhoftig, thanks so much for joining us in the Music Room here on WVUD.
You're welcome. My pleasure, Richard.
I don't think I told the audience this, but I met Barry at a very important wedding over the summer where royalty met. Sarah from WVUD's 6 a.m. Thursday morning Java time and Peter from WHYY tied the knot, and they had your band, the Hot Club of Philadelphia, there to play the music. And I'm so glad that you were there.
Yes, it was great meeting you, and it was just a wonderful wonderful time in a very very cool setting also.
Well, why don't you tell the folks about the song that they just heard? I think it's from your 2010 CD.
Yes.
And which is called Wrap Your Troubles in Dreams. And it's a song that I understand goes back to 1912.
It's pretty interesting. I wrote about the song. I write for a couple of different blogs and magazines. So I'm trying to think of which site I put this on. But, you know, it was originally written as a waltz by a composer named Archibald, I think,
who wrote a lot of these
popular waltzes around, you know, the turn of the century. And it was in the Titanic playbook, from what I understand, the Starline playbook.
Yeah, the White Star Line, it was in there, and there's some talk this might have been the last song the band played, but nobody knows.
Exactly. So, but they certainly, it was a popular song of the day, and so Django ended up, Django and Grappelli ended up playing it as a swing, in 4/4, and so our version's kind of a tribute to Django, of course, and Grappelli, but it's also a tribute to my friend Fappy Lapperton, who recorded it in about 96 on a great CD called Hungaria. And the clarinet player who played it with him is Bob Wilbur, who is still with us. He's in his 90s, God bless him. But he is a phenomenal player that has been over here, a couple times, and he's based in England.
Well, this music that we heard, and that was a Song of Autumn, is the English translation. It goes back to about 1912. That's the first recording that anybody made of it. And as you say, it's something... That's a lot of what Django Reinhardt and Stefan Grappelli did in the 30s, was taking standards and redoing them with this gypsy vibe.
Yes, exactly. And, the treatment that they gave to Song d'Automne, taking it from a waltz to a swing, they also did with Dark Eyes, more famously.
Oh,
people are very familiar, with the song, which is a, Russian traditional song, and shows up in a lot of cultures, Spanish and some other places. And they took that famous piece and they turned it into a swing and did a couple of versions and really created quite an interesting sound with that, with combining the styles.
For people who are not familiar with Django Reinhardt and the whole idea of the Hot Club of France and gypsy jazz, why don't you tell people a little bit about Django and the following that he has still today?
Yeah, he's quite an interesting character. A lot of people are sort of drawn to him as sort of a romantic figure. Basically, he was a gypsy, certainly not educated. I don't think he ever went to school. And he was born, I believe, in 1910 in Belgium. But he settled in France and was a child prodigy, self-taught musician, didn't read music, but he was almost killed in a fire and disfigured his left hand, fused together his third and fourth fingers, basically. So he developed a way of working around that, and he combined his gypsy folk music background with the jazz standards of the day. And actually, he and Stefan Grappelli, and Grappelli was the violinist, they, interestingly enough, were influenced by Eddie Lang and Joe Venuti. There's a local connection. They were a very famous guitar and violin duo who were from Philly. And they were quite popular, and Grappelli and Django really tried to emulate them in the beginning. They were certainly influenced by them. But they were really trying to play their version of hot music, hot jazz, like the Louis Armstrong Sides and these other records that were coming out. And the original Hot Club of France, which is what the quintet became known as, the original name was just for the name of the place where they all met to listen to these 78s, you know, and they were enthusiasts of the music, really, you know, aficionados. And, you know, after a while, I guess after a few gigs of playing there, the Django and Grappelli figured they may as well just call it the Hot Club of France.
Well, it's very interesting music because, like you say, it's their version of what they thought Louis Armstrong and hot jazz coming out of New Orleans sound like. Oh, wait, but this is a guy from Philly, Joe Venuti, and his guitar player, Eddie Lang. And so we could make this music with the instruments we have, and let's go ahead and use the rhythms that I grew up playing. I can almost imagine Django saying.
Exactly. So they have some, you know, some French musette music in there too, you know, which were the waltzes that were played in these dance halls. They were actually rough places. They supposedly would have to nail the furniture, the chairs, and tables to the floor because, you know, the patrons would, you know, get drunk and start throwing them, whatever. But, you know, they added these different styles, and, you know, they didn't use drums that much. The original quintet was basically three guitars, you know, Django, with, you know, with Django and bass and violin. So they developed sort of this hornless and drumless sound. There are some things they did with clarinet, and later on, both Grappelli and Django, you know, they played with drummers, and they played with you know, sax players and trumpeters and, you know, more big band things. But originally it was basically acoustic, so most of the bands that do this material, and there's hot clubs all over the world in many cities, but, you know, most of us kind of use that format as a starting point and then put our own flavor on it.
I think there are big gypsy jazz or Django reunions. There's one where up in Northampton, Massachusetts. Isn't there also one up in Reading?
Well, I'll tell you, the biggest one, I mean, there's a lot of them. The biggest one in the United States took place last weekend, which was up in Whidbey Island in Washington State. And that's called a Django Fest. It's put on by a fellow named Nick Lehrer, who I know. And believe it or not, in 04, me and a buddy of mine put on the first Philly area.
Oh, wow.
Fest. And we may do another one, you never know, but we did that up in Sellersville in, you know, sort of near the Quakertown area of Pennsylvania. And we had a three-day festival. We had Stefan Rembel come in, and we booked one group from France, and we had John Jorgensen and then some local groups, and it was very nice. The really big festival is, or the biggest and most important one, is the one that takes place in Samois-sur-Seine, which is S-A-M-O-I-S. So it's a town right on the Seine River, about 30 miles south of Paris, and that's where Django actually passed away. He liked to go there and stay and go fishing, and he was actually a very good artist, too. He would paint. And so they have a festival at the end of June there every year. That's just wonderful. I've been there five times, and the campsite, it's sort of like a folk festival, but way more fun, in my opinion. And, you know, like a Philly folk festival. And, you know, people camp out. I don't. I, you know, rent a little flat and ride a bike down to where everyone's hanging. And it was so nice this year where I took copies of the CD, and the woman who did the cover, Irene Ebenberg, was there. I was able to show it to her, give her a copy, and my friend T.T. Bamberger, who's a gypsy that lives in Germany, he's on two of the songs on the CD, singing and playing. And, you know, I gave a copy to him. Every time I walked past his camper, he had a record player outside, and it was playing the CD. So it was quite existential, quite a nice feeling.
And the name of the Hot Club of Philadelphia's new CD is Gypsy Roots.
Yes, R-O-U-T-E-S, yes.
And people can find it at cdbaby.com or by going to hotclubphilly.com, I'm sure. It's just great stuff. I love the CD. I've listened to it over and over again, and you were kind enough to share some pre-mastered selections from the CD with those of us who attended Peter and Sarah's wedding, and you bet I played some of those tracks on the air. Well, why don't you pick something out from this CD that you'd like to play? Do you like me to play? Because I like the whole thing.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because when you're making the CD, and it took like 2.5 years, it took really a long time to do. You know, we had these special guests. We had Howard Alden come down and play with us, and T.T. Bamberger, and some great singers. Phyllis Chappelle was on it, and Denise King. Anyway, you know, you get so close to the thing that after a while you just can't deal with it. And then you start to just listen to it again and like it all again. It's a weird process. But, I mean, I like La Foule, which features Phyllis Chappelle. I think that's a really interesting track. It always gets a huge hand when we play. It goes over really well.
And this one will sort of give that Musette feel because it has an accordionist on it.
Yes, and it's in 3/4, yes, and I can talk a little bit about the history of it after we hear it probably.
All right, here we go. I'm just going to say the English name, The Crowd, from the Hot Club of Philadelphia's new CD, Gypsy Roots, here on WVUD.
Je revois la ville en fête et en délire, suffocant, c'est le soleil sous la joie. Et j'entends dans la musique les cris et rires qui éclatent et rebondissent autour de moi. Et perdu parmi ces gens qui me bousculent, étourdi, désemparé, je reste là. Quand soudain je me retourne, il se recule et la foule vient me jette entre ses bras. Emporté par la foule qui nous traîne, nous entraîne, écrasés l'un contre l'autre, nous ne formons qu'un support. Et le flot sans affront nous pose en chaîne l'un et l'autre, et nous laisse tous deux se poigner, ni veille dévoreux. Entraîné par la foule qui s'élance et qui tasse, une folle farando, tout doux-mêmes restés soudés. Et parfois sous les veines, de gros hommes se s'envolent, et retournent tous deux se poigner, ni veille dévoreux. La joie éclaboussée par son sourire me transperce et jaillit au fond de moi. Et soudain je présente parmi les rires quand la foule vient l'arracher d'entre mes bras. Emportée par la foule qui nous traîne, nous entraîne, nous éloigne l'un de l'autre. Je lutte et je me débat, mais le son de sa voix se tourne dans la vie des autres. Et je crie tout au long du fourreau de rage, je pleure. N'est pas la foule qui s'élance et qui tasse sous le fond de farando. Je suis sans porter loin. Je cuise ma poire mordissant la foule qui me vole. L'homme qu'elle m'aimait d'un air qui n'est jamais retrouvé.
Venezuelan waltz originally, the Peruvian waltz.
You're on the air. You were starting to tell people. You said Edith Piaf heard that as a waltz and had somebody write some lyrics for it?
Yeah, that's right. The history of the song, Richard, is that Edith Piaf was on tour in South America, and the piece originally was a, I guess, Peruvian waltz, which you can kind of hear in the, you know, at least in the, you know, the vibe and the beat of the song. So she really just dug the tune, and she had someone write French lyrics for it. So I don't know the whole story because I'm not fluent in French, but you can look it up, you know, online on Wiki or whatever, and it talks about these two, this man and woman, you know, finding each other in the crowd and then losing each other. It's kind of a poignant thing. But Phyllis Chappelle is the featured vocalist on it, and boy, she does a great job. And when we do that live, I mean, even instrumentally, believe it or not, sometimes we'll do trios and we don't have a, you know, female singer. We don't have Phyllis with us, unfortunately. But, you know, people just really dig that song. They dig the hook that it starts with, that chromatic thing. And just kind of a really, you know, visceral or engaging song, you know. So that's not really done too much, actually. It's not recorded much or performed much with a vocal. It's sometimes done instrumentally.
It's just so much of the music on your new CD, Gypsy Roots, is just so catchy and just catches you. It's really, really good.
What we like, what we like here, you know. I sometimes tell people it's jazz for people that don't like jazz.
Oh, I like jazz, and I like this.
Yeah, well, but it's not a, I guess it's what, an if then statement where it can include, you know, the subset or something like that. But, yeah, I mean, even at gigs, in all seriousness, people have come up to me and said, you know, we really like this. We don't really like jazz. Like, they're worried that they're insulting us. And I go, no, that's great. If you like it, that's good. You know, we're trying to bring jazz back to when it was, you know, pop music. We played for swing dances. We play at the Vesper Club in Philly, and it's one of the places we play. And they actually host swing dances there. So we'll, you know, we change the repertoire up a bit. We usually won't play the really fast, like, minor swing type things because you can only do one or two of those. They need to be Balboa dancers to play, dance at like 200 beats per minute, you know. But, you know, it's just great to sort of make it accessible and, I think Branford Marsalis was quoted, I saw a quote online where he said, you know, jazz has sort of lost its way when you need a syllabus to know what the band is doing. You know, but anyway, so yeah, we just try to keep it, you know, melodic and accessible and soulful.
Well, I think it goes back to the roots that Django Reinhardt had in mind with that idea of, instead of having drums, you've got the rhythm guitar doing the pump, 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 pump. And that sort of, that percussive sound is what sort of helped drives it.
Yes, le pompe, which means pump in French. But yeah, that's the whole thing. When you, if you're learning how to play gypsy jazz and you're learning from, you know, someone in France or gypsy or whatever, traditional player, they just teach you the rhythm. You don't play any leads until you really, until your rhythm really swings and really, you know, sounds right, you know. So it makes sense to do it that way.
Well, before we play one last track, why don't you plug your website again so folks can find all the places you're playing?
Yes, not so many places, thank God. The website is www.hotclubphilly.com. And they can get the CD through the website there. And, well, we've got so many gigs. Thank God. We play at the Paris Bistro, where you've heard us, I know, in Chestnut Hill in Philadelphia. And Vesper Club. And there's a nice place called the Saloon in South Philly, which is right near from where Eddie Lang was actually was born, like a block away. There's a plaque there. Anyhow, we play there, and also the Bookstore Speakeasy in Bethlehem, and just all over. We just did a little Midwest tour too, actually.
Yeah, you just got back from Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Well, folks, let's give a listen. I've decided that I'm going to play track two from your new CD. It's a medley of two songs.
The two songs are Bistro Fada, which is the second piece, written by my friend Stefan Remble. That was featured in the Woody Allen film Midnight in Paris. And the first song is Indifference, which is a Musette accordion piece. And they fit together. They're very similar in feel, And they fit together so well, we thought we'd do a little a medley recording.
Well, Barry Warhoftig, thank you so much for joining us here in the music room on WVUD.
My pleasure. Billing off, as they say. You're welcome. And nice talking with you, Richard, and I hope to see you at one of our gigs again soon.
All right, my man.
Thanks for listening to The Music Room on WVUD. For more information about this and other episodes of The Music Room, including selections from the interviews and information about the music, visit us online at sites.udel.edu/TMR. Tune in next Tuesday at 6:30 p.m. for another episode of The Music Room on WVUD and WVUD HD1 Newark.